News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, and turning up your voice at 343-0106. A lot of you already on the text line talking about name, image, likeness, among other things. Feel free to do that right now if you want to call, 343-0106. And, of course, the much ballyhooed FM Talk 106.5 app, which is available right now, and we do certainly encourage you to download it. And, you know, if you have an Android, it's in the Google Play Store. If you have a more popular iPhone. I'm an Android guy, so I'm always kind of like, I feel like a stepchild a little bit.
At this station, I am like the, I'm the lone iPhone guy that's fighting off all you Android people around here, every single one of you. And, you know, if the app is good enough for Ricky, who said it's cool and sent the emoji with the sunglasses, then it should be good enough for you. That's all I'm saying.
Well, thank you, Ricky. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ricky goes out and decides to actually download the app. Now, Ricky, what you can do is you can leave us a voicemail anytime you like.
You sure can.
That might have been the worst thing I've ever said in my life.
Yeah, I think it was.
But, you know, and the reason I like the app, too, I'll just be honest with you, is if you're leaving voicemails along the line, like during the show, you know, we only turn up your voice in the 8 o'clock hour. The programming is a little more strict between 6 and 8. Mm. But if you leave just a quick little 20-second voicemail or something like that, we can certainly pepper that into the show and kind of in real time have an idea of what you're thinking out there aside from just the text.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And so that's just a brand new option for you, leaving the voicemail there on the FM Talk 106.5 app. You can search for it, iTunes App Store and Google Play. Just search FM Talk 106.5. No decimal points. You'll see our logo there. Hit download and you'll be on your way.
So, Senate race that we thought was kind of a sure thing for Mo Brooks, now, according to political observers in the state of Alabama, maybe not such a, you know, I don't know.
Not a done deal.
Not a done deal. And you know, I'm new to really closely following politics in the state. It's fascinating to me to have a better understanding of who candidates are, where they came from. She's very much establishment all the way. She's so established. She's married to a Roll Tide All-American, you know, two kids, picket fence, you know, among the...
worked for Richard Shelby
for years.
Time, yeah.
Right. So to me, that's establishment Republican for sure, right?
And, you know, we got a long way to go. We have a long way to go until the primaries, May 24th of next year. And Mo Brooks has started off hot. There's no doubt about that. And I think if there was current polling done, that he would still have a major, major lead on the now two other candidates that are also in the race. You have Linda Blanchard, former Trump envoy to Slovenia, and the first to announce her candidacy for the Alabama Senate. And then the most recent is Katie Britt. And what you're mentioning or alluding to there, Dan, is the money that she's raised. You know, she just made her announcement that she was running. June 8th was when that announcement was made. So we're not even a month in. And in 23 days in June, she's raised $2.24 million, more than 90% of that coming from within the state. And remember, there are limits, because of certain laws, there are limits to how much one corporation or one person can donate to a single campaign. Now, are there ways around it? I'm sure. And has been used before. But it'd be pretty tough to cheat your way to $2.2 million worth of money raised.
So,
but it just seems like that's a lot of money. If your average Alabamian is nickel and diming a campaign, sending $10, $20, $30. Bernie Sanders made a lot of money for his campaign through those small donations from people across the country. We're just talking about Alabama, a place which is Trump country, and in polls so far, many of whom have said that they're Team Mo Brooks all the way. That $2 million says a lot.
It does. It probably says more about, I don't want to accuse or go out of bounds with this at all, but we all know who the biggest businesses in Alabama are. They're widely known. They might have to do with lumber. They might have to do with finance. So where are they on this? I mean, if she was able to raise the established biggest businesses in Alabama, and she was over the Alabama business.
Yeah, she was a business council. Is that what it was called?
BCA.
BCA.
She was over that for a short time after she left Shelby's office. So, you know, she's got those contacts. Suddenly she has $2.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to think that one led to the other.
And she is, you know, just from a purely what you want in a candidate. And there's a couple different things that a campaign chairman might want now in someone that's running. You either want your Mo Brooks, your Marjorie Taylor Greens, mm-hmm. your
outsider,
Tuberville that's mm-hmm. firmly in the Trump camp and either riding that wave or I guess that's the most proper way to say it, riding the Trump wave and being similar to Trump mm-hmm. as you try to get into office.
Because, a disruptor.
A disruptor, but more so somebody who's going to carry on the MAGA rule, the way that Trump was planning and had run the country for 4 years. And if Trump gets back into office, somebody who will support him along the way. And then the other option there, and there can be crossover here, but the other option is a younger looking person,
mm-hmm.
Well put together, mm-hmm. looks good, female, who is, you know, living the quote-unquote American dream. And
right.
That's what you have here in Katie Britt. You have somebody who is by-the-book conservative, has two kids, like you mentioned, a former football-playing husband. How much more American can you get? I mean, that's some TV show stuff right there.
And I could catch some flack for this maybe on the text line. Maybe I won't even say it at all. Let me see how I can put this. She's a female.
Yeah.
So there's maybe a chance there's less skeletons in the closet.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah.
Dudes between 20 and 25, whatever.
And let's be honest.
They could have made enemies. They could have done stupid things.
Yeah.
When you're Miss Alabama in the, what was it, the pageant right here in Mobile,
mm-hmm.
she represented the state in the...
Was it the Azalea? Azalea Trail Maids thing or what?
No, I'm losing my mind here.
Oh,
they all come from every
yeah.
state.
Yeah, I'm losing it.
America's
too,
Junior Miss, it was called
That's
at one
right.
time. So anyway, she was Alabama's representative
mm-hmm.
in that competition right here in Mobile. You cannot check any more boxes.
I don't
than
think
that.
That's out of bounds saying that because, I mean, you can't escape one of the more recent Senate contests in Roy Moore and the accusations that were levied towards him, which played a major role in him losing
mm-hmm.
to Doug Jones, whether those accusations were true or not. And if that, just think if that kind of accusation were to come out to Katie Britt that she was like trolling the mall looking for young guys, I don't think that would affect her vote as much as it did for Roy Moore. Maybe it would bring up some follow-up questions, but and she seems like somebody who's been planning to run for a long time. Like this has been in the workings. You know, she was with Richard Shelby's office for so long. He's stepping aside and, you know, basically trying to do his best to get her elected. Unless you really have, you know, some strange addictions or something you just can't avoid, if you're planning on running for a major office for a long time, that's like your life's work, you would think even be more careful
right.
to do something that might hurt your standing
right.
in the public eye. And, you know, I'm not expecting anything to come out about her in her personal life that may disrupt what's coming up, but there's a chance maybe if she comes out and says the wrong thing about a personal political stance on one thing or another. But so far, all the media rounds she's made, she's, you know, checked every box that people are looking for. She's just right now not endorsed by Trump and not as firmly in the Trump camp as Mo Brooks. And I think that's what it would take for her to win, to pull this major upset. She has to pull over people that want to vote for Trump in 2024 mm-hmm. and that have voted for him in the past and that are put off by the mainstream media and mainstream Republicanism. But she also has to pull the people that don't want to vote for Trump,
yep.
that have been never Trumpers. If she can gather that kind of coalition, I think she has a chance to beat Mo Brooks. But right now, She's looking at a 28-7 deficit at halftime. Mo Brooks has a pretty big lead.
But it's not halftime. It's early in the first quarter.
Right. We're looking at the first few drives.
Yeah. So the way you put it, she's got to not publicly take an anti-Trump stance. She just has to say who she is.
Right.
And I think to this point in her campaigning, that's what she's done, right? She really hasn't gone after Mo Brooks to this point.
Not really.
Linda Blanchard has, and that hasn't really worked out well for her.
It did not, because Mo Brooks hit back immediately and hit back hard at Linda Blanchard. I think that's what Katie Britt has to do. She has to kind of play like she's above any of those dirty tactics. She can let somebody else leak stuff and do things for her on her behalf, but I doubt you'll see her commenting on it very much.
All right.
It should be interesting. Next 10 months.
It's early in the entire campaign, and that's just kind of not just our take on it, but we're just throwing it out there. What we don't know, what we're speculating on, what we're curious about moving forward with this race. Feel free to hit us up on the text line or call 343-0106. Dan and Dalton, Bobby Mornings. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Getting some activity on the text line. We'll get to that here in just a moment. Big news, Mobile County now has got a brand new messaging alert system. You can sign up to get the alerts, and it's easy. Dalton and I have both done it. There's your proof. I've done it. Boomer.
Yeah.
There's your proof.
I didn't even have to help you, I don't think.
Thank you,
Dalton. You figured it out all by yourself.
All right. Just text Mobile Alert. That's one word, to 226-787. The system is a purchase of the Mobile County Communications District 911 Board, and it's going to be made available to public entities that want to get, you know, news out quickly. Also, you can create your own personal profile. It can contain emergency alerts and health and medical information, household information, and once you're signed up, you'll get alerts like weather updates, road closures, extreme traffic backups. We never have those around here. First responder activity, even parade information during Mardi Gras. And you're never going to get spammed by any kind of political statements or commercials of any kind. It's strictly the information. It's the brand new Mobile County Messaging Alert System. Text Mobile Alert to 226-787, and you can sign up today. It's 824 at FM Talk 106.5. Cam Marston joins us on the line right now, Dalton, and he's the host of his own show.
Yeah, What's Working, which comes on tonight at 6, just as it does every Wednesday night. Cam, thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Thank you for the time. I appreciate it. Good morning, gentlemen.
Cam, I really enjoy your show, and you have such a variety of guests of different businesses, but sometimes there seems to be this there's thread that joins all these businesses together in the way they go about doing what they do successfully. Tonight you've got a guest on who is originally from this area but has hit it big in Europe, and you talk about branding. So give us an idea of what happens on the show tonight.
B.J. Scott, Beverly Joe Scott, born and raised here in the lower Alabama area, tells a wonderful story of how she got to Belgium and how she kind of got left in Belgium. She had a guitar with her and began singing on street corners with the goal of making enough money to buy a sandwich that night. Today, she has progressed in her career that she is a judge on the Belgian version of The Voice, called the Voice Belgique. And her name and face are painted on the sides of buses, on billboards, etc. Just a great story of what she's done to become successful in that regard. And we talk with her about personal branding, the importance of her maintaining an image to the public that they can count on, and they know when they turn the TV on what they're going to see. And we translate personal branding into what it means for people like you and me that aren't famous, that aren't on national television. How do we manage this? What's the importance of it? So she offers some really great insights on what she does and how she thinks about it, and perhaps what you and I can think about it. It's really a fun conversation.
Well, Dalton is famous, by the way, so please take that back, Ken.
Famous.
I understand that. I saw Dalton in Costco not long ago, the throngs of people that were surrounding him asking for pictures and autographs.
Sure.
It was really quite astonishing.
Yeah, happens all the time.
Sorry to bring that chaos into your life when you saw me at Costco the other day. So I'm reading her Wikipedia page, BJ Scott here. Grew up in Baymanette, moved to New Orleans, and then ends up in Belgium. So when she talks with you about branding, I mean, it's hard enough in the country where you grow up and know the language.
Good point.
Would hopefully know the language.
Yeah.
But to move to a country where they don't even probably don't speak a lick of English, most of them. I mean, that's what an unbelievable story.
It is an unbelievable story. And again, the way she tells the story, she got left there. Hmm. She was there for some other reason, and suddenly she was on her own. She learned the language. It's a French dialect, and there are many different parts of the country with different dialects, and she learned them all. And she's become known for as a worldly American, as she describes an American that has a lot of the American values, but really clearly sees the point of view of all different countries across the world. And that's one of the things that has endeared her to that audience there. And the other thing is, when she tries to take Southern sayings that you and I may be familiar with and translate them into French to apply to a certain situation on national television, and it goes horribly wrong, and it becomes a comical moment. And there are T-shirts now in the country that have her misinterpretation of the language printed on the T-shirt that are kind of references to her and her show.
Wow.
Ken, it's it's amazing the success that she has. Now, when I talked to her, she was here in Mobile. She had a gig that night at the Floribama, and then she was flying back to Belgium to begin the next season of The Voice. And she says part of her success is the viewer knows what they can count on from her. She's going to give unadulterated feedback to the voice participants, and she's going to mess the language up at least once per episode or something like that. Not intentionally, but in her effort to communicate in her non-native tongue. And it's all become a part of who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And the message is, you know, the show, as you both know, focuses on workplace, workforce, and marketplace trends. And what are the trends shaping those businesses out there, and what can we learn from them? And the message is, we all have a personal brand. She's famous. She has to nurture hers differently. She's famous. You and I, though, in our 9-to-5 jobs, our regular jobs, also have one. Mm-hmm. It doesn't involve fame and fortune, but involves who we are when we show up. What is our brand that people can count on from us? And I think there's a message in there, and it's something that we can all work on. It's really, like I've said a number of times, it was fascinating to talk to her.
Quickly, Dalton.
So folks could check that out tonight live at 6 o'clock. But, of course, every week you do the show, it's posted on your podcast page, which, you know, you just search What's Working with Cam Marston or go to our site. You'll find podcasts, but also generationalinsights.com. Cam, any of your recent interviews that you think people ought to go back and check out? I know you spoke with the CEO of, what is it, Huck Brand Fishing Gear. Lots of people have seen that brand around. You spoke with him recently.
Yeah, Huck is the way it's pronounced.
Hook, that makes
Brand
more sense.
Fishing Gear. Yeah. Yeah, that guy was so impressive. I met him at a conference, and the story he tells of going from a concept, which he presented to his current employer and said, I think there's a market here. They said, no way, you're wrong. He took a bet on himself, gathered a team, and it's now what we see is Huck Brand Fishing Gear. There's not a day that goes by that I don't see somebody wearing his gear. It's a great story.
Cam, tell everybody the name of the show and, again, what time you're on and what time of the week.
It's called What's Working with Cam Marston every Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. here on FM Talk 106.5.
Great. Maybe we have these conversations more often, Cam, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
I appreciate it, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Another one of the talented members of FM Talk 106.5.
No doubt. Lots of texts about the Senate race. We'll get to those and more when we get back. 8:35 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Let's talk with Louie Ratta with McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing good here in this first week of July. And I know what else is looking good. That's a lot at McConnell Automotive. Got it stocked full right now.
That's right. We've got it stocked full. I mean, we've been buying cars and getting them through service, getting them through detail, getting them pictured, getting them out front. And we've got trucks. We got great deals on used cars, used trucks. Also, don't forget, we have new trucks on the lot. Got rebates on those. And I'm sitting there looking at about 10 of them right now. So y'all can come check those out. Don't forget, look at it online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Also, if you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141. Don't forget, Gene and I will buy your car.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is call us, give us a VIN number, and we'll give you a price right on the telephone.
Yeah, trading not the only option. You'll buy it outright. And
that's right. We're buying cars all day long, every day.
Well, that's some good stuff. One of many things that you can get done or do at McConnell Automotive. And we appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Radup. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Dan and Dalton, 837 FM Talk 106.5, going to the text line, getting some reaction on our conversation about Katie Boyd Britt and her raising $2.4 million, and it's kind of a blink of the eye.
Yes, so it was $2.24 million. Okay. Made her Senate candidacy known June 8th, and that's the June number that she raised that much money. I don't believe that that Mo Brooks has put out yet how much money he's raised.
I don't think so.
Probably start to expect that soon, because, let's see, the second quarter filing deadline for federal candidates, July 15th. So we'll probably see some numbers from Mo Brooks coming up here before too long. And I don't think that he's, you know, going to be a penny and dime guy. But he's raised quite a bit of money as well. But as we look at this upcoming election that's now 10 months off the primary, you know, can Katie Britt make up that early ground that Mo Brooks that has taken so far? Looking at some of the texts you've sent this morning. Jim in Georgetown says, if there ends up being a viable candidate that could win in a general election, I would probably vote for her or him. I like that Brooks is a conservative, but he's kind of a blowhard, and that rubs me the wrong way. I'm looking hard at Katie Britt, but she's still a little bit of an unknown. Need to see more. And that first sentence, the Jim, that you said there, if there ends up being a viable candidate that could win in a general election, I'll tell you right now that I don't think we're going to have a Roy Moore, Doug Jones situation on hand here. Mm-hmm. I think the general election might as well be that primary May of next year.
No doubt about
Whoever
that.
Whoever wins the primary is most likely
is in.
Going to be the very heavy favorite.
Yes.
And if they lose, that would be two of the biggest Senate upsets in quite a while, coming nearly back-to-back in the state of Alabama. So that would be something else if that were to happen. I mentioned that Mo Brooks has the lead right now, and I said halftime. You said more like early in the first quarter. Someone else chiming in said, yeah, but Britt is like the Tennessee Vols, and Mo Brooks is like the Tide. So they're getting a dig in at me there, being a Vols fan, but also saying, look, this is a pretty big lead that Mo Brooks is starting out with here. And Jeff Poor has said in the past that a lot of times you'll have a candidate who jumps into a race and may not even be expecting to win that race.
They're just getting their name out there for the next time around.
Exactly.
But I think that's what I was thinking immediately. Katie Britt was building her brand. We just talked about that with Cam Marston. She's building her brand statewide for sure. Now, I mean, $2.24 million in a month. It's more than a brand building. This is going for it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Going for it for sure. And she's doing all of this, all her media appearances, as Linda Blanchard really fades. And remember, Linda Blanchard has quite a bit of her own money involved here, and she started off hot, and then went after Mo Brooks, and he went right back after her.
Yeah, she did that on the Jeff Poor Show.
She did, and he countered back on the Jeff Poor Show.
Yep,
and by the way, more coming up, but we'll talk with Jeff Poor here in just a few minutes. But will Linda Blanchard drop out soon, or will she come back? You know, we're going to hear more from Mo Brooks coming soon. Ricky on topic here with the text. He said, I believe Katie Britt needs Dominion voting machines to vote for her to win. So he's saying that she won't get by unless there's a little funny business happening there.
Yeah.
Another unnamed texter here, personally tired of Mo's Trumpism. He goes with whatever Trump is saying. I think many are feeling this way, and we did vote for Trump. This person said, Katie Boyd Britt may get that all politics are local. And when she was on with Sean, and she was also on with Jeff, and will be on with Jeff again today, speaking of what we're talking about here, Sean asked her about the bridge, and she had something to say about that.
Mm.
Mo Brooks said it was more of a federal issue, which unfortunately is we're hearing from the feds they're not going to take it up. But Katie Britt did have an opinion on something that's hyper-localized for us. And a couple more to get here. Ricky said, Roy Moore for president in my vote. That's Ricky there. And after that, we get some text about Cam Marston. So some good stuff there.
So across state lines into Georgia, former football great Herschel Walker may be gearing up for a potential 2022 Republican Senate run in Georgia. And it would probably be against I would think the
guy. We got Warnock.
Yeah, Warnock
and
Warnock would be the guy he would target and try to. He hasn't lived in Georgia for decades, so he'd have to establish residency in the state, and he's never run for public office before. But the name Herschel Walker in the state of Georgia is huge.
So he hasn't lived in Georgia?
He's lived in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
But the name in the state is huge. Now, we see with Tommy Tuberville and the like, and many examples before that, that can be enough to get you over the line,
mm-hmm.
especially if you have Republicans who are saying, well, we can't let this happen again. Warnock, you're out.
Yeah.
Walker, you're in. But here's a Republican strategist who remained anonymous said, we don't know what a Herschel Walker candidacy looks like. What type of candidate is it going to be? How is he going to handle being thrown into the fire? Is he going to be quick on his feet? Also,
was that supposed to be a play on words?
Yeah,
Herschel Walker's pretty quick on his feet.
Well, here's the thing, too. Herschel Walker's got a very public history of a mental issue.
Mm.
Were you aware of that?
No.
All right, so shortly after he retired from the NFL, he was diagnosed with a dissociative identity disorder, mental disorder also known as multiple personality disorder.
Really?
Yeah, and this thing was very public. And
how did I not know about that?
Yeah, and even in, it may have been the SEC special about Walker's career. He might have talked about it then. He talked about just kind of being out of body, like he was two different Herschel Walkers.
Wow.
I think he had some domestic incidents in Dallas that might have been kind of like, that wasn't Herschel, that was this Herschel.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
So, you got a lot to consider. So if you're Republican in Georgia right now, you want to win back that Senate seat, man, Walker is explosive in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And he could certainly get run over a little bit with those issues
he
in the
could.
Past.
He could.
And if these, I say in the past, incidents in the past related to the issues that are evidently present.
Yeah, wow. That adds a twist for sure. And, you know, Georgia, a much more purple state than Alabama. Even though Alabama had a Democrat senator win back in 2018, like I just said last segment, it's like it would be a major upset if a Democrat won again. In Georgia, it would not be a major upset in the slightest. They're much closer to 50-50 there than in the state of Alabama.
But Georgia historically has been very red.
Yeah.
And it might have been, the Trump thing worked both ways.
It did.
It got more people out to vote than ever. Trump got so many votes. But it drove the Democratic voting.
The Senate, and
Biden. He brought the people out one way or the other.
Yeah.
For Trump, against Trump. And in this case, that's how Georgia had those upsets in the Senate.
Well, what you were reading until you get to the mental issue sounded very similar to what people were saying about Tommy Tuberville
mm-hmm.
as he entered the race in Alabama. Now, major difference there, Tuberville's been a salesman his whole life. He's been recruiting kids to one college or another forever, and you'd think that would have a lot more in common with running for office than being the running back for a college team and then in the pros, because it's just, even though same business, two majorly different jobs.
Sure.
But we've seen Herschel, you know, these past couple years, he's really kind of turned it up, and being in that Team Trump camp, would he have the chops to go up against a Warnock or an Ossoff? That's a big-time question. And would he be bad for the Republican Party? Would he pull too many votes from maybe a more viable candidate?
Do Warnock or Ossoff have chops themselves, or did they just end up in the right election at the right time with a Trump backlash in areas of Georgia that, you know, the suburbs of Atlanta, and they got caught up in that way? I don't think either one of them are amazing politicians.
No,
and they may not be worth a damn as senators.
And the two they were up against had some flaws as well.
Exactly.
Leffler and Purdue.
All right, we'll talk to Jeff Poore about that and more on the way next on FM Talk 106.5. On the text line, I do want to thank Fred and Sims, who said, Dan, I still think of Chief Zach. He's referring to my son. But we lost earlier this month. We lost an excellent warrior. Stay strong. Fred and Sims. Thank you, Fred. I appreciate that.
Very nice.
Just want to let you all know that doing this show are my best 3 hours of the day by a long shot. And so thanks to Dalton, thanks to the audience for allowing me to do so. 851 FM Talk 106.5, Dalton and I kind of kicking around some Senate talk about races. Senate races in Alabama and also in the state of Georgia. Run, Herschel, run. Jeff Poore show on the way. May have an opinion or two about all this. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing fine.
Doing well. And, you know, on your show today, two names we've mentioned already this morning.
Herschel Walker?
Herschel, I don't believe will be on the Jeff Poore show.
Come on, Jeff.
You'll have Katie Britt on and also Senator Tommy Tuberville on today.
Yeah, so the Tuberville, going to hit on the infrastructure, I think. We heard from Jerry Carl over and over again. Don't expect this big infrastructure bill to pass, and then magically you're going to have money for the I-10 bridge. But I think a lot of Democrats will play it that way. But there's other projects in the state, and here's what will happen. If you're a member of the Congress did not support this package, which increases taxes on a certain number of people, then they're against infrastructure, and while you're sitting in traffic, it's their fault.
And, you know, they've said, I think Jerry Carl has said multiple times on your show, the biggest piece of infrastructure that we're hoping for down here, the bridge, not included in any kind of plans, even if Republicans were fine with passing it.
Yeah, it is strange that, like, we were told that, like, Richard Shelby, the appropriations guy, now he's a ranking member, he was the chairman. How does this not make its way into that legislation?
I don't know.
I'm wrong to say this, and I know I hammer this on my radio show, but, you know, putting the Port of Mobile and these other, and some other things ahead of this, who's making that call? Who has decided in their mind that is going to do more good for the state than, and improve the quality of life of people than doing something with the transportation across the Mobile Bay that we've been dealing with for 100 years.
And especially the fact that is I-10. That means Interstate 10. Mm. That means it connects many, many states. In some cases, it may not mean that, but in this case, it does. Los Angeles to Jacksonville. Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It's like we're out in the middle of the Gulf on a boat just shouting into the air. Like, yeah. I don't understand how this isn't considered a federal issue.
I'm with you, Jeff. With all this money being spent and all this money coming our way with this infrastructure deal, there is one infrastructure concern along the Gulf Coast here in Mobile, a sizable city. It's the I-10 traffic. How in the world can we get through all this and not get a dime for that?
But no one's made that clear to me. Why are these other things more of a priority? Why is rural broadband a bigger priority than I-10? Now, look, I get the way a lot of people in this state are. If you're north of the Dolly Parton Bridge, you think, well, you know, I don't ever go down there. And the way the opponents who want to spend money on other things will detract from the I-10 bridge. So, well, it's just those people in Mobile. They want to go to the beach. They want a free bridge to the beach because a lot of people don't ever go to Mobile from the rest of the state. For whatever reason, if they go to the beach, they're getting off there and it's Stockton. They have no reason to ever go to Mobile. So they don't really have a concept of the problem, and you allow others to frame kind of how that works.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Democrats recently said that it's actually the Republicans that want to defund the police, and they've said a couple things that are like the exact opposite, like 180 from what's actually happening. With this infrastructure bill, I know that some people have been calling out Biden, but it's almost like one big charade, right? So he separates the people part of the infrastructure bill from the infrastructure, has this coalition of bipartisan senators, Mitt Romney's picture on every newspaper, and they come to this agreement. And then he says that he won't pass one without the other, and then he comes back and walks it back. But, I mean, how are they getting away with that, or are they?
Well, I'm still skeptical that this thing will make it through, but Biden is being pressured by his base, and they have different ideas about the way the world should operate when it comes to infrastructure. I mean, there really is a bubble mentality in the Democrat Party because look at what constitutes infrastructure in their strongholds. It's mass transit. It's things that don't really work in red states. But their thinking is, well, you know, let's let's make the red states more like us, which is just isn't, you know, theoretically isn't feasible. But I think there's a lot of that going on. They relied heavily on the far, far, far left to get elected. They probably relied on some other things as well, but relying on the far left to get elected, and Biden's having to play this two-step here and straddle the fence, and this is just what happens when you try to have it both ways.
You know, if anybody was familiar with Mobile, certainly it's Donald Trump, and even during his administration, did this thing ever get kind of pushed up the priority list a little bit under his administration? Was there ever a point where we were more hopeful about this thing? And I don't mean where Governor Ivey and all that went downhill quickly, but was there ever a point where the I-10 bridge felt like it had a chance?
I don't think Shelby had Donald Trump's ear very early on. That may have gone sideways when Trump came out against Jeff Sessions. But I don't think, and certainly Doug Jones didn't have Trump's ear, but I don't think our senior U.S. senator made this an issue. And I've always wondered, like, why isn't this more of a priority? Why isn't this on the top of your list? You are the guy that is, you know, one is going to have his name on everything, brought home. And look, he did a lot of good stuff. Huntsville and Birmingham with UAB are what they are today because of Richard Shelby. But he could have gotten this in front of the president, in front of the Trump administration at the time, and gotten this on some kind of budget proposal or whatever if he had wanted to. It just, there were other things they thought that were more important.
Texter said maybe if they'd named the bridge for Richard Shelby, would have worked harder for it. Hey, I think if they'd named the bridge the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez Bridge because she had something to do with it, we would all drive across it just as happily. Maybe not support her in any election, but looking forward to another great show here, Jeff. And just 30 seconds left here. The money raised by Katie Britt last month, $2.2 million. Is that a big deal or no deal?
Here's what's important, guys. You could max out your contributions to general election campaigns and primary campaigns. How many of these people are the same people maxing out to both of those? And is there any way possible for Katie Britt to keep up this pace throughout the campaign? I'm very skeptical of that. But these are the numbers there. There's probably a lot of detail to numbers that we need to work through.
Yeah, I would like to see a breakdown of who gave what of that $2.2 million. And we'll figure all that as we go along, obviously. And Jeff, we look forward to your show on the way here in just about 5 minutes.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Got it.
That's Jeff Poor, the Jeff Poor Show on the way, and Mobile Mornings on the way in only 21 hours. Go ahead and set your alarms.
Oh, boy. Dan and Dalton, y'all have a great day.